The Philippines' body kicks out several Luzon's candidates for the May elections, including A. Marcos. India records its first known Omicron-related death as COVID-19 cases there surge again. The Philippines' COVID positivity rate rises to its highest ever. And we'll discuss the plan of Philippine officials to expand restrictions on the unvaccinated with Commission on Human Rights Commissioner Gwen Pimentel Gana. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, Philippines' poll body kicks out several Luzon's candidates for the May elections, including A. Marcos. India records its first known Omicron-related death as COVID-19 cases there surge again. The Philippines' COVID positivity rate rises to its highest ever. And we'll discuss the plan of Philippine officials to expand restrictions on the unvaccinated with Commission on Human Rights Commissioner Gwen Pimentel Gana. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. Our top story at this hour, the Philippine poll body further trims down the list of candidates for the May 2022 elections. Only 11 presidential bets remain from 15 in December. The late dictator son, Ferdinand Marcos Jr., is the only Marcos left in the running after independent aspirant Maria Aurora was removed from the list. She was declared a nuisance candidate. Marcos's camp welcomes the COMELEC's decision, saying it signals that a democracy is alive and well in the country. As for the vice presidential race, there are still 9 candidates. The list of senatorial aspirants now down to 64 from 70. India has confirmed its first death due to the Omicron variant. The health ministry said the patient was an elderly man. India's new COVID cases doubled to 58,000 over the past 4 days. Total Omicron cases have also risen to at least 2,000, just over a month since it was first detected in the country. Officials now fear daily cases could surpass the record of more than 414,000 recorded last May as the Omicron variant wreaks havoc nationwide. The number of new COVID-19 cases in France again hitting a record high. France reported over 332,000 additional infections just in the past 24 hours. This is the first time single-day cases in the country breached 300,000. Also on Wednesday, nearly 2,500 people were admitted to hospitals and close to 400 were brought to intensive care. This comes just a day after President Emmanuel Macron said his government would impose stricter restrictions on those who continue to refuse COVID jabs. Around 5 million people in France remain unvaccinated, with 20% of them considered to be at high risk. Italy making COVID vaccination mandatory for everyone over 50 years old in a bid to battle surging infections. Prime Minister Mario Draghi said the new policy obliges people over 50 who are unemployed to get vaccinated and those with jobs to obtain a vaccine pass. The vaccine mandate will be in place beginning February 15. As in much of Western Europe, Italy has seen its COVID cases soar in recent days. It recorded 189,000 infections Wednesday. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention expands the eligibility of Pfizer-BioNTech's booster shot to cover 12 to 15-year-olds. The booster dose is to be given at least 5 months after their second dose. The FDA had authorized the additional doses for the age group on Monday, but the CDC sign-off was needed before the shots can be administered. This comes as the U.S. grapples with record high numbers of infections. On Monday, the U.S. broke pandemic records with nearly 1 million cases detected in just one day. China-made vaccines can offer protection against severe illness, hospitalization, and death related to the Omicron variant. That assurance coming from an official of the World Health Organization.
We have seen right now is what's going to protect from severe hospitalization and death is your T-cell response. So the neutralization antibodies go down and is the T-cells. And what we know from other vaccines, they do prevent, whether the Sinovac, Sinopharm, the studies done in Chile, in other places have shown that they really work against severe hospitalization. So the vaccines had different ranking in terms of prevention of infection, but what we know very well so far is all of them prevent that.
Vaccines manufactured by Sinovac and Sinopharm are two of the most used jabs in China and the leading COVID-19 shots exported by the country. The Sinovac vaccine is among the most commonly used jabs in the Philippines. Well, the Philippines, among eight countries included in Hong Kong's flight ban list. Incoming flights from Manila, as well as the US, UK, Australia, and Canada, plus France, India, and Pakistan, will be banned for 2 weeks starting Saturday, January 8th. The stricter curbs come amid fears of a possible fifth wave of COVID-19 infections. Hong Kong recorded 38 new cases on Wednesday. The Philippines sees another huge jump in COVID-19 cases. 10,775 new infections were detected Wednesday. That's the highest single-day tally since October 10, 2021. The 31.7% positivity rate is also a new record high. The number of active cases now nearing 40,000. The health department has said the latest COVID surge may peak by the end of the month. People continue to flock to COVID testing sites in Metro Manila, which offer free swab tests. One barangay health officer in Quezon City says the number of people they were testing rose from about 15 to 100 a day after Christmas. Some of those being tested were already feeling symptoms of COVID-19.
Sabay-sabay po kami nagkaroon ng ubusipon po tsaka sakit ng ulo. Surge ngayon sa Omicron eh, kaya para lang po makasigurado na.
Health Secretary Francisco Duque III says government is working to make at-home antigen test kits available. But even without getting tested, an infectious diseases specialist says people should already take extra precautions as soon as they start feeling sick.
Hindi pa siya home use. Kinakausap po din ng FDA at sinisiguro natin na magkaroon ng revision doon sa kanilang binigay na CSP or EUA, no? Hindi CPR, yung Certificate of Product Registration. Kung dapat ay kung paano gagamitin ito just in case pahintulutan nila ang self-administered antigen test kits.
You don't have that accessibility to the test, then it's better that you self-isolate yourself and then you inform all of your contacts, especially in the household, because if one is positive in the household, 30 to 40% of that people in the household can also get the infection. You hydrate yourself, you rest. So you still have to monitor yourself. If you see some signs that you have difficulty of breathing, walking, you have difficulty of breathing, then that can be an early sign that you need to be admitted in the hospitals. And
another province is set to be placed under stricter health protocols. Beginning Friday, Laguna will be placed under alert level 3 due to the rising number of COVID cases there. Laguna joins neighboring provinces Bulacan, Cavite, and Rizal under alert level 3. This will be in effect until January 15. Hospitals in Cavite starting to get overwhelmed by the latest COVID surge. The main government hospital in Dasmariñas City is nearing full capacity. Operations are also limited, with 77 hospital workers under quarantine.
Sa dami ng nag-aantay dito sa waiting area, magbubukas na kami ng another waiting area. We decided to prioritize certain areas of service. So kung ano yung mga most crucial and important services like dialysis, yan, di mo yan mapopostpone, emergency room, doon namin ililipat yung mga staff.
The government hospital in Imo City has also prepared tents and dedicated its entire third floor for COVID patients. But its operations have also been affected due to infections among medical staff.
Yung ating pong operating room, nag-instruction na rin po ako na lahat ng elective surgeries po natin ay i-delay muna. Except for the emergency cases at saka po yung mga nanganganak in yung pong mga naka-schedule na pong mga cesarean sections. Opo, sa ngayon po ay talagang nagsara na po kami ng ICU. Yung pong mga tao noon, dineploy na namin sa ibang department.
From just 5 cases a day, Cavite's tally has jumped to an average of 214. The governor blames this on the deluge of people who arrived over the holidays. The Philippine National Police begins deploying officers to quarantine hotels as ordered by President Rodrigo Duterte. That's after reports of travelers skirting their mandatory quarantine. This includes the case of Gwyneth Chua, who violated quarantine rules to attend parties. She ended up infecting over a dozen people with COVID. PNP Chief Leonardo Carlos believes they have enough manpower to implement the president's order to inspect quarantine hotels.
We follow the instructions of the president of deploying 2 PNP personnel on a 12-hour shift in these quarantine facilities, hotels that are being utilized as quarantine facility for returning overseas Filipinos. I don't have the number right now, but because we have other international airports, if they're right, returning not just in Metro Manila, right, or in Cebu and other areas, we are just making sure that we have also made coordination with the other government agencies like the BOQ, DOT, and DOTR for a common help desk.
The Commission on Human Rights, meanwhile, reminded police officers to exercise maximum tolerance in their new role to prevent possible human rights violations. Another close contact of quarantine violator Gwyneth Chua tests positive for COVID. The provincial government of La Union said the close contact was in the province on December 29th to attend a benefit concert held in a restaurant. Contact tracing is underway, and those who visited the restaurant from December 29 to 30 are advised to self-quarantine. The restaurant is closed until further notice. Even before the protocol violation of Gwyneth Chua, the National Bureau of Investigation had already monitored several instances of individuals skipping quarantine. In August of last year, the NBI began looking into an alleged scheme where arriving passengers would have another person check in at their accredited hotels. Several laboratories also reported not finding returning travelers at their designated quarantine facilities.
Yung mga nag-avoid na mag-undergo ng quarantine facility sa isang hotel, maglalagay sila ng ibang tao para sila yung pumalik para mag-quarantine, no? So, mag-a-appear na lang yung talagang pasahero on the day na kailangan siya swab test. That time, no, fifth day, dapat mag-swab test yung pasahero, no? So, dadating na lang sa hotel facility yung pasahero on that day. So, napansin din nyo ng hotel, na hotel management, and nare-report naman nila yung foreigners, then iba, mga sikat na personality, and all pala ay non-OFW passengers. OFW, we observe na napapalo yung
NBI adds some of these quarantine hotels also did not cooperate in their investigation.
Challenging yun sa Ibo during that time kasi kapag nangihingi kami ng copies ng list of passengers, no, wala silang maiprovide. And then kung magtatanong kami regarding dun sa mga sa headcount, pinapasa kami sa mga government agencies. So, tapos napansin namin na yung hotel management hindi alam talaga yung policy na dapat sundin. So parang nakita namin na kulang na policy talaga na dapat masunod.
The Philippines is expanding its restrictions on the unvaccinated in a bid to stem this latest COVID-19 wave. The Commission on Human Rights says this is acceptable as long as the unvaccinated are not denied access to essential services. For more on this, we're now joined by CHR Commissioner Gwen Pimentel-Gana. Commissioner, Happy New Year to you. Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate your coming to the show.
Thank you, Carmina, and blessed New Year to everyone. Good day. Right.
So let's talk about this. But before we get into the topic deeply, I want to ask you, how difficult is it for the CHR to weigh the rights of the vaccinated versus those who are unvaccinated? And we're not even talking about those who choose not to get vaccinated. Go ahead, Commissioner.
You're right, Carmina. No, it's very difficult because you have to balance the rights of both what is the common good and what is the right of an individual, you know, to enjoy all their, you know, the protection that is given by government. So it is indeed very difficult. But of course, like in this particular time, we recognize the right of government to restrict some certain rights, you know, like the right to freedom of movement, because it is for the protection of our right to health. So we have to balance these things. So it is very important that continuous discussion about the matter as a matter, and of course, calling attention of government if they overstep the boundaries.
For example, like this, they're now talking about restricting the movements of the unvaccinated. How is this not discriminatory?
You know, when government comes up with policies, in, especially in restricting rights, you have to, of course, determine whether it is for the good of both the unvaccinated and the vaccinated. So the policies of government must be for thinking of what is good for both sides, you know. So it must not be abusive. It must not be oppressive. It must be reasonable, legal, necessary, proportionate as a response to an epidemic. And of course, it must not be discriminatory. So all these things must be taken into consideration when you try to promote both the rights of the unvaccinated and the vaccinated.
Commissioner, tell us, how far can the state go to manage this pandemic without trampling on the rights, the human rights of people?
Like example, you were talking about the rights of the unvaccinated. They must not be deprived of the rights to essential services. Example, in the protection of their right to health, they must have access to hospitals, medicines, etc. Their right to food, they have to be able to buy their needs, and their right to education of their children, and all other rights that need to be protected and upheld even during pandemic.
Mm-hmm. So for example, you're in lockdown, government must be present to make sure that you have all the necessities to be able to survive.
Correct. Like example, maybe the barangay should be assisting a family who's unvaccinated, cannot go, example, to a grocery or what. They must provide somehow the accessibility to essential services.
So you can't just restrict them and leave them be. You got to be fair.
No. Yeah, you have to be fair. You have to be reasonable in your approach, and you must not be discriminatory.
Let's talk about the rights of those who choose not to get vaccinated. Very tricky right there, because they choose it for themselves.
Yeah.
But the effect may be on other people as well, endangering the lives of others. So how does the CHR view that?
You know, you're very right. It's really difficult. You know? When government comes up with a policy, it must be considerate also of certain exemptions, like valid exemptions to maybe valid health reasons why they cannot be vaccinated. religious beliefs and all that. But it is also incumbent for an individual to realize that your freedom actually stops when the freedom of others are affected. In other words, if you are causing harm to the others, then you have to be restricted, because life, you are not an island until it's, you know, you have to live with others. You are in a society. So it's very important that you as an individual must recognize that you have responsibilities in society also.
Okay, I'm going to go to the religious aspect of this, Commissioner. You know what's happening, especially in the provinces, right? Of course, here in the country, there is separation of church and state. There is freedom of religion here in the country. But what if this hinders pandemic efforts, as we said a while ago, or worse, it even endangers other people? Or a church, for example, even espouses for the congregation not to get vaccinated because of their own beliefs.
Then
where
they have
the state come in. Go ahead.
Yes, sorry. Then they have to now conform with the restrictions of government. Therefore, the government can actually monitor them, can actually put a certain standards whereby they can exist in society, but they have to also take care of what is common, the good of everyone. So in other words, that religious sect or community must adhere to government policies when it comes to those who are not who are unvaccinated.
Mm. Because there are, I'm sure you've heard of some, right, who actually tell the congregation not to get vaccinated because they implant microchips through vaccines. Go ahead.
No, sorry. So they have to live within the parameters set by government for those unvaccinated. Because they cannot live their life as if others will not be affected by it. Mm. As I said earlier on, we live in a society and our freedom is curtailed when it affects also the freedom of others.
But can government actually step in?
Yes, yes. Government can step in. But of course, again, the parameters are reasonableness, the legality. It must not be abusive, nor must it be oppressive and discriminatory.
I'm going to talk about another aspect of the pandemic efforts. As you know, there's a human rights component to this, a human rights dimension to the pandemic response. There have been inequalities that have worsened, and there have been inequalities have been created because of this pandemic. What is your assessment regarding that, Commissioner Pimentel Gana?
You know, as you pointed out, we are talking of the implementation of certain policies, no? And that's where inequalities actually happen, because we have no control on how a specific, like, let's say, local government or barangay implement a government policy. So we have to monitor strictly how these policies are being implemented on an individual case or individual basis. So as media and us as the CHR, we and civil society will really have a big role in ensuring that no discrimination actually is happening in the implementation of policies of government.
For example, when you talk about the education sector, the right to education, because of this pandemic, some have had more rights than others.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. And I could only say that maybe those in the private schools are better equipped to deal with the pandemic in terms of educating the children than those in the public schools. But that's where government has to step up and make sure that, you know, these inequalities are not happening, because it's government who has the resources. It's government who has the mandate and the responsibility to ensure that the rights of every child is protected. So we have to exact demand from them, like the local government units. What are you doing? The Department of Education, what are you doing? So these are policies that they craft, but in the implementation, we have to make sure that no discrimination is happening.
We got to talk about mass testing as well. That sort of falls into the right to health. of course, local government units are now mandated to conduct free testing. But even if you say that government has the resources, it's limited resources, right? So, and then you have people who say that they want to get tested, but it's so expensive. So I'd rather not get tested. That's another thing. Another observation that, you know, this is not just about health. This is not just about the economy, but this is also, it has a lot to do with human rights. Go ahead.
That's so true. That is why it is very important that we should follow also all the protocols that the Department of Health or IATF are actually suggesting of us. In other words, every individual must be responsible enough to follow what they think should be the best in order to protect themselves and others. Meaning to say, as you said, resources are never enough. It will never be like one-on-one. And then when you say testing, do you really need to be tested? There are other means that the Department of Health are saying, mag-isolate ka. And then protect yourselves from maybe within your home, your community, you can do that. So you do not depend everything on government. You have a responsibility as an individual. And there are also options how you can protect yourselves.
Okay. Of course, we opened the discussion about, you know, the plans to restrict movement of the unvaccinated. But I also want to talk about the CHR's assessment of the overall protection of human rights during the course of this pandemic. I mean, you've got to talk about, you know, how the vulnerable are doing, the women, the children.
Oh.
We got to talk about abuse that is happening within many homes. They're left undetected.
Yes.
What has been your assessment, Commissioner?
Well, when you say like on women and children, you know, abuse on women and children, it has been observed that there has been an increase in the abuse of domestic abuse because, of course, the women and the children have to live with their abusers because they live in a home. And if that's, you're talking about domestic violence, especially now that you cannot really go out and access to like reporting, you know, the abuse are very limited because, for one, we are just living in a virtual world. And sometimes, you know, response is not quick enough. So there are a lot of abuses now that we're trying our best to monitor them and document them. And once they are reported to us, we also act on them. So our lines are open. And of course, our help comes from the civil society. So that is why it's very important that we keep connected. Even if we are, you know, limited by virtual connection, at least there's a way wherein these abuses can still be reported.
And finally, Commissioner, what can the government do or what can the CHR do at this point so that one day when we finally come out of this pandemic, it will not be that some have more rights than majority?
Oh, thank you, Carmina, for that. No, we, as our mandate, is basically the monitoring, no, whatever's happening in government now. So we are doing that, continuously monitoring how policies are being implemented by government. And we accept also reports and we document abuses, you know, and as much as possible, we act on them when they are reported to us. We contact government agencies that have the first, you know, they're the first responders to these abuses. We have to contact them and draw their attention so that they can do something about this. So our lines are open, our offices are open, and we are continuously working with media and we are continuously working also with the civil society and the religious sector so that we can see how the implementation of this pandemic response of government is actually affecting our people and protecting their rights.
CHR Commissioner Gwen Pimentel-Gana, a pleasure talking to you. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Thank you, Carmina.
Thanks again. Take care. And from there, we're going to take Another break up ahead. Confusion. Mars, the re-implementation of stricter travel measures in the Philippines. We'll give you details of that when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. We're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on AMC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. The Philippines' poll body kicks out several nuisance candidates for the May elections, including a Marcos. India records its first known Omicron-related death as COVID-19 cases there surge again. And the Philippines' COVID positivity rate rises to its highest ever. Back with more news, 15 members of the Presidential Security Group test positive for COVID-19, but they have had no recent contact with President Duterte. The PSG said its infected members had just returned from their holiday break when they tested positive. Commuters in Metro Manila struggle with stricter travel measures as COVID cases rise at an alarming rate. And as Jackie Manamba tells us, more public transport workers are also contracting the virus.
Public transport sector workers were not spared from the rising COVID-19 cases in NCR. 345 staff of rail lines tested positive for COVID-19 through an antigen test conducted in the past 2 days. 44 were confirmed positive in an RT-PCR test, but transport officials assure passengers train operations will still continue.
Ligtas ang ating mga rail lines sa ngayon. In fact, itong isinasagawa natin na preemptive measure na iniutos nga ni Secretary Tugade, yung pag-test sa lahat ng ating mga rail line personnel and employees. Yan ay intended para masigurado na hindi ma-expose yung ating mga pasahero sa mga positive cases galing sa ating mga rail operators.
At the Philippine Ports Authority, 106 workers tested positive. However, they have yet to go through a confirmatory RT-PCR test.
We do our routine antigen testing, and that's precisely the reason, and we are thankful that we've implemented that. At doon natin na-detect simula nung Monday na marami nga sa mga kasama natin ang na-infect. So of course, i-increase natin yung testing natin, and then I think wake-up call din yun ano, sa mga kasamahan natin dito sa PPA.
60 out of 100 MMDA personnel also tested positive via antigen tests. But the MMDA says majority of their staff are fully vaccinated and there is no need to lock down their offices. Airline Cebu Pacific has canceled 46 domestic flights until January 15 while they do an inventory of their manpower and while NCR is under alert level 3. Canceled flights include those going to and from top tourist destination Boracay, Cagayan de Oro, Cebu, Davao, Puerto Princesa, and Tacloban. Passengers are feeling the stringent travel measures. Some transport hubs have implemented the no vaccine card, no ride policy as soon as MMDA came up with a resolution Tuesday. Others resorted to patronizing illegal alternative transportation modes such as van rentals.
Sobrang hirap po kasi halos lahat po ng sasakyan namin, hinahanapan po kami ng vaccination card. Yun, hindi pa po kami nakakatapos magpa-vaccine first dose pa lang po. Wala po talaga kami masakyan. Lahat po kasi vaccination card po yung hinahanap. So baka po mag-arkila na lang po kami, taxi, ganun.
Mahirap po kasi paputol-putol yung sakay. Hassle talaga sobra.
However, the MMDA clarified today that a local ordinance is needed to implement the no vaccination card, no ride policy.
The no vaccination, no travel policy will be implemented after the various local government units of Metro Manila pass their respective ordinances. But it will not prevent yung mga establishments, buses, MRTs, from implementing their own kasi under the IATF regulations naman po, these private establishments, facilities, or businesses can implement their own policy insofar as unvaccinated individuals are concerned.
The Department of Transportation admits they can only do so much to mitigate the exponential spread of COVID-19 cases. What they are focusing on now is flagging down public transportation that goes beyond the 70% capacity limit rule to enforce social distancing. Jackie Manabat, ABS-CBN News.
Thousands descended in Las Vegas Wednesday as the CES kicked off another one-year pandemic or after a one-year pandemic hiatus. But the crowd was noticeably lower than previous years amid fears over the spread of the Omicron variant. The current outbreak of COVID cases also prompted companies like Amazon and General Motors to withdraw from the world's biggest tech showcase. Nevertheless, other exhibitors from all over the world came to unveil their products. Among those on display, an exoskeleton, which aims to reduce fatigue of workers who spend long hours standing, and a toothbrush that can clean your teeth in just 10 seconds. Amusement park Star City will reopen its doors after more than 2 years. It will be open daily from 2 in the afternoon to 10 in the evening, beginning January 14th. Star City ceased operations in October of 2019 when a fire gutted most of its attractions. Meanwhile, Enchanted Kingdom in Laguna will temporarily suspend operations due to rising COVID cases. It says, while amusement parks are allowed to operate under Alert Level 3, they need to prioritize the health and safety of their guests and staff. Enchanted Kingdom will be closed at least until January 16. Philippine Central Bank Governor Benjamin Diokno named Global Central Banker of the Year by The Banker. That's a magazine owned by the Financial Times. The award is the first for the Philippines. Diokno was recognized for his efforts to help stimulate economic recovery and growth for the Philippines as the pandemic rages. Diokno expressed his gratitude for the recognition. Diokno was appointed as BSP chief in 2019 and will serve the remaining term of the late governor, Nestor Espinilla Jr., until 2023. I'm going to go into another break. Still ahead, tennis star Novak Djokovic denied entry into Australia. Details when you come back. You're still watching Dateline Philippines here on the News Channel. With sports news, tennis world number one Novak Djokovic has been denied entry into Australia. The tennis star was issued a letter by the Australian government saying his visa had been revoked and that he would be removed from the country. Djokovic was left stranded at Melbourne's airport overnight. A source said Djokovic would file an injunction to prevent him from being sent back home. The tennis star had previously received a medical exemption from Australia's vaccine mandate so that he could play in the Australian Open. But now Prime Minister Scott Morrison says Djokovic failed to provide sufficient proof to receive that exemption.
Rules are rules. And there are no special cases. Rules are rules. That's the policy of the government and has been our government's strong border protection policies, and particularly in relation to the pandemic, that has ensured that Australia has one of the lowest death rates from COVID anywhere in the world.
In the NBA, All-Star Kyrie Irving made his season debut, helping the Brooklyn Nets rally for a 129-121 win against the Indiana Pacers. Irving, who had not played for the Nets this season due to his anti-vaccination stand, finished with 22 points. He will remain unavailable for Nets games that will be held in cities with mandatory vaccination rules, including those to be held in Brooklyn. Kevin Durant added 39 points for the Nets, who outscored the Pacers by 15 points in the fourth quarter to complete the comeback. Preparations for the 2022 Beijing Winter Olympics enter their final stages with a month to go before the opening. Chinese President Xi Jinping inspected some of the facilities Tuesday, including the National Speed Skating Oval, the Athletes' Village, and the Command Center. Beijing has also started welcoming officials of the International Olympic Committee and journalists. The Winter Games will run from February 4 to 20, with a Winter Paralympics following between March 4 to 13. competitions will be staged in downtown Beijing and two neighboring towns. Back here at home, the Philippine Basketball Association gets the go signal to resume competition. But according to League Commissioner Willie Marshall, it will be done in a bubble format in compliance with the guidelines of the Games and Amusements Board. Marshall, though, admits the bubble setup for the rest of the Governor's Cup is still being finalized. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. Entertainment news now. The annual Grammy Awards show has been postponed indefinitely amid fears over the Omicron variant. The Recording Academy said music's biggest night will be moved to another date, which will be announced soon. The awards night was supposed to be held on January 31st. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Playback this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the News Channel.